Hello, all you positive heads out there. It's so good to be back with all you beautiful reflections of the one source consciousness that creates and animates all things. If you're new to this podcast, of course, we're super happy to have you here. And if you've been listening and enjoying for a while, I would be super grateful if you would please take a moment to give us a review on Apple Podcasts. It's one of the best and simplest ways to pay it forward and help others find the show so that they too can tap into the powerful perspectives and positive vibrations we are collectively emanating. The other unique and magical way to share this show is by sending any friends you think would benefit from listening to this podcast our Game with the Universe link at positivehead.com/game. Also listed in the show notes, which will serve them up a quote-unquote random episode when they click it. Just instruct them before clicking the link to close their eyes for a moment and sincerely ask the universe to cue up the episode that contains the insight and perspectives that they most need to hear at this point in their life journey, and then click to listen to whatever episode is synchronistically served up to them. I have heard time and time again from people about the incredible results they received playing the game. So just tell your friends, magical results are guaranteed or their karma back. All you positive heads, here we grow again. Hope you are all having a magical Monday out there. Whenever, wherever you're hearing this, maybe it's a Tuesday or Wednesday. Any day that ends in Y, I hope it's going just fine for you. It's going for me today. It's been interesting. I've been really processing a lot the last few days. Definitely feel like an expansion, growth, growing pains, even really dealing with, I'm someone who deals with a lot on my plate pretty well, more than most, I would probably say. And of course, you know, with the ever ticking clock getting closer to July, when I actually move over and move into the Mystic Manor. Then, of course, a few weeks later, the first guests are showing up. And then, you know, July 20th is actually the first taping, live taping of Optimistic. And from there, you know, it's off to the races. It continues to roll. And the amount of things on my plate, and that also have, like, you know, a lot of correlation, scheduling, you know, SoulShare guests, scheduling live musical performance, scheduling Mystic Manor retreat guests, you know, planning a move. Also with my travel company, a lot's going on right now. Some exciting things in way of the potential of someone helping to take over some of the day-to-day operations for me that, you know, or carry a lot of that weight. So as I make the transition into the Mystic Manor and this new chapter with Optimistic, you know, having some help there will be tremendous. But there's a lot going on there in big partnerships happening. And you know, I found myself this morning for the first time, really the last few days, it's been just like going through a sense of like so much excitement and also feeling and then swinging, which is not like me, having like swinging energy, feeling overwhelmed or anxious even. Once again, not a typical thing for me. You know, I tend to juggle things very, very well, but there's really more on my plate than there's ever been. Ever, you know, working all day, every day, 7 days a week, maybe for many weeks straight, it might be a part of it. I am learning to embrace it and trust it. And, you know, but I found myself this morning, just a couple of hours ago, just like bursting into tears from the sort of all the things, like, how do I get to everything? And needing, definitely could use some more help in some ways, but then that's tricky too, because, you know, training people to do things or people have their own, you know, schedules and whatnot. And I find, sort of vulnerable share of, you know, all what I'm experiencing right now. And the good thing is I realize it's a growing, you know, it's a growing pain, if you will, being stretched. And I have the utmost faith that we'll all get done and it will be exactly like it should be. And things will be completed into divine timing. And Yeah, but there's just so many moving parts, yeah. So I thought, what better thing to talk about this morning than overcoming overwhelm? And I know a lot of you guys out there deal with feeling anxious or stressed or depressed or overwhelmed. And like I said, it's not a real common experience for me, but definitely one that, like I said, the overwhelm and somewhat anxiousness about all the spinning plates has been feeling it. And and how I'm processing it and how I work through it and how can you work through it when you're experiencing it. And, a big part of it is, and I'm going to share a clip here in a few minutes where Tony Robbins talks about this very thing is like, you know, he says, look, it's not that I don't ever feel depressed or angry or sad or stressed, but he moves through it really quickly. And that's really what I am doing, have been doing even this morning. Like I said, when I spontaneously like burst into tears earlier, I'm like, what is this? Where are these emotions coming from? This isn't like me. Not that I never cry, but you know, it's certainly not from like stress too much or, you know, any of that sort of thing. And it was just like, okay, allow this energy to move through. And that's really the thing about it. It's energy that wants to move through. And it's when we bottle it up and don't allow it to move through that it can really cause problems. And so, you know, allowing to just sort of bounce back to your default. And luckily, I've done a lot of wiring my neural network and the neural networks in my brain to be optimistic. My head is pretty positive. And so, even just an hour ago, I was like, I don't know if I can, I'm up for recording this morning, which doesn't happen to me very often, you know? I mean, it happens sometimes, but, it's like for me, it's a switch that I can turn on and I feel really, really great. And so, yeah, there's been some interesting highs and lows in the last few days and a little bit more of a roller coaster than I'm used to being on. And I embrace it all. I accept it all. And I just I realize the more that I can sort of accept and own it and move through it and realize that it is, as you know, Jason Estes talked a few weeks ago on the show about, you know, May 18th being a big turning point and sort of new flux of energy coming in. And I do think, you know, we're all probably experiencing that in different ways. I mean, certainly, you know, I know I'm stepping into the caterpillar. Brandon is becoming just a bit more of a butterfly, I would say, with the new things coming down the pipe. And I imagine the caterpillar isn't always super comfortable in the chrysalis when it's there being transformed and the caterpillar is being melted down so the imaginal cells can consume them and turn into the butterfly. I imagine that process isn't always the most pleasant at every moment, but it's worth it. It's worth it in the end. It's worth the results that it ultimately provides. And, you know, another thing in the last few days that bubbled up for me was realizing and talking with some of the people who were working with me on Optimistic and putting all that together. And even an employee at my travel company, you know, had made the comment of, you know, they originally started working with me because of Positive Head. They knew of Positive Head before working for me. And they're like, I wish I saw more of that brand in here. A lot of times when you interact with me, it's like when something's off or wrong or needs to be fixed or, you know, and I realized it was like a big, and that probably surprises some of you guys to hear. And it's not like I'm a tyrant or total a-hole or anything, but a big light went off for me with that conversation. And then one other person who's working on Optimistic, like about the expectations that I bring pertaining to people that I'm working with, you know, and sort of having had hundreds of employees at this point and, you know, experienced a lot of times that maybe people don't get things done as efficiently as I do, or at times their mind's not working as quickly as mine, or, you know, it's kind of you get into that mentality of, if you want it done right, do it yourself. And then you get into this, you know, and well, what this caused the light bulb for me in the last few days to go off was that I've had this perspective of sort of expecting people to not show up in a way that pleases me or that is ultimately what I would prefer. And of course, surprise, surprise, then I come into conversations with, you know, sort of Maybe not the most positive head attitude, right? Maybe not like expecting like that they're not showing up the way I want, or they won't get the job done right, or they don't care like I think they should care. And it's back to our conversation all last week, right? Expectations are good. Attachment to expectations are not. And so using it as feedback and learning how to create the people that you're interacting with in a way that really, really, creates, you know, manifests them into your world. And I just had this big light go off for me like, oh my gosh, I've had a lot of like sort of negative expectations about how people close to me will show up. And as a result, I come into interactions with them with that energy. And then it's like, and then, you know, it's not really going as well as I'd hope. And surprise, surprise, right? So that's been my last few days. Really, those two things have been my big processing. So you guys can tell I've been being stretched and growing. And, you know, I'm super grateful for the new insight on, you know, how to be. It really comes down to being a better leader. If, you know, you want to lead with inspiration, not just some of the time, but expect the best from people. Give them the benefit of the doubt. Then if it's still not meeting your expectations, it's not personal. Don't get angry. I mean, if you've come into any situation with expectations that aren't met, but you brought agitated energy with it and sort of, you know, oh, I knew it would be like this. Well, you don't really know how much you co-created them being there. Well, if you showing up in that way, but if you come into something with like great expectations, and then if they're not met, you're not taking it personally, and you continue to empower them, be an emperor and empower them, be a king, be a leader, be a queen, right? And they're still showing up in a way, but your energy is really golden. Well, then now you know it's just not a fit, and that's okay. It's not, you know, never personal. So yeah, those are my two big takeaways in the last few days. I just wanted to share with each one of you and, hope, I'm sure everyone out there can relate to different ways of, in different ways, you know, that you have places where you're expecting people to not be everything you think they should be. Then of course they meet that expectation. Then you start coming into scenarios, not being inspiring, not being a leader, an emperor, an empowerer. And that's when you're co-creating what you don't want to see, right? And so, yeah, working hard over here, guys, on all this stuff, on all levels, juggling lots of spinning plates emotionally, physically, with the calendar. Woo! Overcoming overwhelm. I feel better. I feel good now. I pushed through. I bounced back. I turned on the microphone this morning and said, no, I'm going to be resilient. I'm going to dig down deep. I'm going to deal with overwhelm in a way that is trust and faith. And, one of the guys, like I mentioned a few minutes ago, that gives some great insight in how to deal with this sort of stuff is Tony Robbins. I got to go to, years back, I went to a date with Destiny in Australia and saw him. And this guy's just like, you know, he's a machine. He's been doing this a very, very long time, and he's done the work, and he's just very, very smart and wise. And so I found a clip that I want to share with him talking about all of this. Not so much the being a leader part and your expectations. I really have shared two different things here that have been prominent in my field the last few days. But his particular clip is how to deal with stress and depression. And this I found on the Evan Carmichael YouTube page. He sort of clipped together, different times Tony was talking about this very subject, and all very, very potent, very powerful. Take a listen.
Overwhelm, you got to first own the fact that you've identified that as the way that you live. You've actually, I always tell people, you get what you tolerate. And so you've gotten used to tolerating that, and you start thinking, this is me, when all it is a habit. It's a habit of the way of looking at life. It's a habit of how you use your body. It's a habit of language that you use. Because certain words, when you use them, you become that. I really believe what you've got to do is train yourself. Train yourself physically. It's like working out. You know, people say, don't you have bad days? Of course I get pissed off. I get frustrated. I feel sad and all those things. But I don't stay there. I used to live there. I used to be depressed all the time. I never get depressed now because, not because I'm so positive. It's not fake. It's like a muscle. You know, you can train yourself to get frustrated by doing it all the time. You can train yourself to be stressed out. You can train yourself to feel sad by doing it so often. We get wired. The more we do something, the more wired we get. You can train yourself to feel passionate. You can train yourself to feel strong. And I tell people, don't settle. Remember, you get what you tolerate. Put yourself in gear. Go for a workout. Start to train your body and your mind. And also find something you want to serve greater than yourself. Because if you're just doing this for you, you're going to probably have bad days. But if you're doing it for your family, if you're doing it for your community, if you're doing it for humanity, you really are, and it isn't bullshit, you're going to find a level of energy inside you. You're going to get insights you never have. I really believe motive does matter. If your motive's just for yourself, you don't get much insight. Life supports you because you're part of life. But if you're trying to support more than yourself, when you get a vision, that's how businesses grow. That's how movements happen, right? Find something bigger in yourself to serve and make sure that you don't tolerate weakness in yourself. That doesn't mean you're not to feel sad, but you're not just going to stay there because you made that decision. Life's too short to feel like crap. I've decided I want to live in a beautiful state for the rest of my life. That doesn't mean I won't feel bad. It means I won't stay there because I'm in control and I can change it. So can you. The breakthrough happens by conditioning your mind every day, by feeding it a role model or story. It's putting yourself in a peak state when you follow through by getting physically strong. It's creating a little ritual of doing a little bit each day, and then you get momentum. But the most important thing of all is what we started out with. Why?
Absolutely.
Why is it a must for you? It doesn't have to be you're against the wall, but it has to be something you're hungry for, because the only difference in people is hunger. And if you're not hungry, get around people that are hungry and something will hit you. You watch a conversation, you get around people that are doing better, and all of a sudden you start going, my life sucks. I remember I went to a guy in L.A., it's one of the most multi-billionaire guy, I'll never forget, and I lived in the Del Mar Castle, and I was really proud. That was like the symbol of me having taken myself from being poor to providing for my family this great place. It's built from castles in Europe overlooking the ocean, not far from you. And I went to this guy's house, he's a billionaire, he took me down to his wine cellar, I don't even drink wine. Went through this whole thing. At the end of the night, I was depressed. I lived in a Del Mar tenement, as far as I was concerned. I really was. I was like, I live in a crappy place, and all my standards changed. All of a sudden, I wasn't willing to settle for living that. All of a sudden, my back was to the wall in a different way, because as a man, I knew I was capable of more. So people can change their standard by getting around where it's better. People can change their standard by getting associated with what's true, like the bills they got to solve, the problems they got to do it. Or they can do it because they're excited because it's something new they want to take on. Everyone's different, but they got to find the why, and they got to come up with some daily rituals to get them going and just do a step at a time. That's where you get momentum.
Got a sort of 5-point plan that anyone can follow to get over stress and trauma in their lives. Talk me through it.
Well, I think, first of all, I want to make one thing clear. The quality of your life is the quality of where you live emotionally. Like, we all have a home. Angry people find a way to get angry, even if their life doesn't have anything to be angry about. We can always find it. Sad people find a way to be sad. Caring people find a way to care for other people. So one thing you've got to identify is, where are you living? What's your home? What's your habit? And then the way to change it is that when I was homeless, literally on my own, just getting started, I didn't have the internet, but I decided I had to go to a library and I had to feed my mind. And I always tell people the first stage is, you know, weeds grow automatically. One of my teachers taught me, he said, every day stand guard at the door of your mind and feed it something good. Because if your worst enemy puts sugar in your coffee here, you're fine. If your best friend by accident trying to help you put some strychnine, you're dead. So if you feed your mind every day, 30 minutes a day of reading something, hearing something. Second, you got to strengthen your body. And the reason, Pierce, is fear is physical, right? So is stagnation, so is numbness, so is sadness, so is rage. And when you go in and change your body by an intense workout or a run or even an intense walk and the blood's flowing through you, science has shown it instantly changes your biochemistry. And now your mind and body are working together. Third thing, all these people did in common, if you watch, they found a mission bigger than themselves.
Yeah.
Something that they wanted to aspire to that was worth more than their pain. And then the fourth thing is, you got to find a role model. You know, you heard it with Nick. Almost everybody finds a role model that makes it real. I was with Warren Buffett and with Sarah Blakely, the youngest billionaire. We're doing this roundtable about the future. And when you listen to this woman, when women meet her, they don't just love Spanx or product that made her a billionaire. They love this woman because she's a role model of what's possible.
Yeah.
When you get a role model, it becomes real to you if you get a plan, you get a goal plan, and you take massive action. And the last step, number five, there's always somebody worse off than you are. I don't care what you've done. So if you can go help somebody worse off, it puts your life in perspective. And it also reminds you, life's not about me, it's about we. I always tell people, the secret to a great life, the secret to living, is giving. And there's when you realize there's something in you still to give, even if you lost your legs, even if you've been through a horrific financial situation, your life can improve. But more importantly, you'll have a meaningful life because your life will contribute to other people. You think about the first thing that determines whether you can do something or not. And I put that in this first box at the top here on the left side. It's potential. Like, what's the potential of a human being? Like, when you guys started, you proved something no one had done in history. You ran the 4-minute mile, right? For godly knows how many centuries, they're trying to run a 4-minute mile. Roger Bannister does it. How did he do it? Do you remember? You did it in this industry, right? You made $1 million in a day. No one had ever done that in history, right? After you did it, a bunch of other guys are doing it because it became possible. Roger Bannister didn't just go physically practice. He made a shift in his head. He practiced in his head because he could never achieve it physically, so he had a change in his head first so that the result became certain enough he believed it, and then his body got him through. After Roger Bannister ran that 4-minute mile, within 2 years, 37 people ran a 4-minute mile. When no one in history had ever done it. Now, here's how it works. The potential for anybody getting your product is extraordinary. They could do what you've done as much, more, or less. They can do whatever they want to do. The potential's there. The market's proven that. Whether or not they tap into the potential has a lot to do with what action they take, which is the question you came to me with, right? Like, you know, God, they all have potential, but they're not taking action. And we all know that the action they take is going to determine the results they get. That's pretty obvious. So most people have a belief about what their real potential is no matter what you tell them. And that affects how much action they take. And of course, that affects the result. And then ironically, that result reinforces their belief. And then that belief affects it. So I'll give you an example. Let's say a person has unlimited potential, we all agree. But they take little action, little results. Why? Because they have to start with a problem with their belief. They don't believe it's really going to happen for me. Maybe for Frank Kearns because he's got the cool hair and stuff. Or maybe it's for you because you're so driven, but it's not me. Maybe Tony Robbins because he's a freak, got these big teeth. Whatever their thought process is, right? They got this thing, right? But what happens is if you believe that there's very little potential, how much action are you going to take?
Nothing.
Nothing, little. And when you take little potential with a little action, what kind of results do you get? Lousy little results. And when you get little results, what does that do to your belief? You go, see, I told you this was a waste of time, told you this wouldn't work. And then what happens? You tap even less potential. You take even less action. You get even worse results, and your belief gets even weaker. And this sucker feeds on itself until you are in a downward spiral.
It's poisonous.
It's poisonous, and it's self-fulfilling. Now, what if something could happen that could come along and fill you with a sense of absolute certainty? Not like I believe, but mean where you know. In you guys' case, mine as well, we knew because we had to. Because we burned the boats. There was no other option. We had to find a way. We weren't going to live that way. We all did it in different ways and for different reasons, but in essence, that was it. If you get yourself in a state of certainty that this is going to work, I'm going to find the way, and if this doesn't work, I will make the way, then you tap a lot more potential. And when you're certain in your potential, you take massive action. When you take massive action, you really believe in something, you get great results. When you get great results, your brain goes, see, I told you I was a stud. I told you this thing would work out. Now you're even stronger. You tap more potential, take greater action, greater results. That's how you went from $300 in a week to $2,500 in 5 days to $100,000 in a month to $1 million in a day. Same thing with you. And we get momentum. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Now, some people go out and they go, well, I'm going to take a bunch of action, all right? I'm going to open this product. I'm going to try it. And they'll say to you, I even did it. But it's like a salesman who goes and knocks on the door, and he knocks on 100 doors and says,
you don't want one of these, do you?
Yeah, exactly right. You know? And even if he doesn't say it verbally, his face says it because he doesn't believe it's going to work. So his voice, his body, the execution is so weak. Maybe if he talks to 100 people, somebody's going to buy out of pity. They don't want his kids to starve, right? But he's not going to get the result. So the core difference in people is how do you produce certainty when the world isn't giving it to you? You go out and you try and you try, in your case, you're $100,000 in debt, nothing's working. How do you keep yourself going? The way you did it, the way I did it, the way you're doing it, we may not have done it consciously, is we didn't change our potential, that was there. And it wasn't even taking more action. Taking more action with a belief it's not gonna work, it's not gonna change anything. We got results in our head that made us feel certain as if it had already happened.
What do I do when I feel the fear paralysis that happens when my mind starts to run wild? It seems like there is a cascade of doom and gloom thoughts, and I can't seem to take any action. I just worry. You know, people who are not used to having that emotion are having it. these days?
Well, we've all had it at different times of our lives. We just forget. And I think what he has to do is, what's a time in your life that you had an enormous crisis, but what pulled you through? Again, we have people go through on that site and answer 5 questions. And what it basically does is help you figure out, where was this crisis before? You may have even forgotten about. What pulled you through? What belief? What strategy? What experience? Who helped you? What triggered you? And then what did you do that made that shift? But I would also say, remember one affirmation, if you would, in your mind and your body. Own the fact that money is not your life. This is just money. I mean, when I was told I had a tumor in my brain, later on, years later, when I thought I might lose my wife to cancer, I'm going to tell you something. Money doesn't matter at all. But when we get focused on what matters most, we're there. So I mentioned earlier, getting physical is really important because fear is a physical thing. So
if
you sit around and think about it, not just exercise, going for an intense run, lifting weights, something that pumps the blood and oxygen through you, because when you do that, your entire psychology changes. You see the world through a different place. So I'd say it's contrast of other people's great stories. Model the best that's in you. When have you been through these things before? You've been resilient if you're honest with yourself, and get totally physical and make that a ritual for you. And then you'll start to look for role models on how to turn things around.
Can I add one?
Yes, please.
Hug people.
Oh, just I love that.
Hug,
come here.
Come here. Hug people and just, you know, and embrace human beings who are all around you, and make sure that you're a good friend so that they can be a good friend to you, and you'll feel better.
I think the most important thing you do is get outside yourself. If you go out to try to help somebody else, we have a basket brigade, and we feed 3 million people a year at Thanksgiving from all over the world. It's because somebody fed my family. When you go out and help somebody else, you realize you have no problems.
You realize how lucky you are.
And you feel like you have something to give. And we all need meaning in our life. We don't want to just get. The life now is about what can you give. That's what will light you up.
Yeah, so many good sayings, right? You get what you tolerate. And he gets it. It's a habit. You know, it's like we can get so emotional about things, but really it's about training yourself. You know, it's like learning this whole thing, that understanding that getting physically active changes your biochemistry. That's huge. How many of you out there are depressed or angry or sad and you're not getting any sunlight and you're never getting your heart rate completely up? I know, surprise, surprise, with all the work on my plate, I haven't been doing any yoga or any, you know, I was going to the gym at least once a week for, you know, a while, last month or so. I haven't at all. Surprise, surprise, you know, it's like everything's energy, and processing it is super important. It's like, you know, Osho said, if you know, same with meditation. I haven't been meditating as much. And you know, if you don't have time to meditate, it's like you should meditate 20 minutes a day. Unless you don't have time, you should meditate an hour. And that's because you're stressing yourself, and you get into that state, that meditative state, that quantum field of potentiality, and you get more work done by settling and getting your energy right. What are the key things to feeling really good about what you're doing? Finding something to serve greater than yourself. You know, what is your motive? What is your intention? He said motive does matter. I had a conversation with someone yesterday about that, and they were talking about a profession that is, you know, can be somewhat racy, right? Or dicey, talking about professional dancing, right? And, you know, her question or to me was like, what do you think? You know, is this manipulating men with like Shakti energy? And I said, you know what? Well, I think what is the intention of the dancer? That's what I think. Motive does matter. You know, everything, so many things can be good or bad depending on, and that's a very relative term, good or bad. We know from the ultimate perspective, there's no such thing, but I think you know what I mean. It's like everything can be used to heal or harm, if you will. In some way, water can be. If you drink too much of it, you're going to die. We all know that it's also the foundational, fundamental force in our whole existence on this planet, right? So it's dependent. It's a context, right? What's the motive? Don't tolerate weakness in yourself. Do something. Get off the couch. Get up. Go out there. Get your heart rate up. And you can't help but have a different outlook because your biochemistry completely changes. Like, isn't that a powerful thing to understand? It can be that simple. Try it. If you haven't ever tried it, next time you're feeling depressed, say, okay, of course, you have to dig down deep, just like me today with like, you know, I don't really feel like doing a podcast, although here I am and I'm loving it. I'm feeling great. It's, you know, therapeutic. I get to share and be vulnerable with all of you. And, You know, it's a powerful thing to be able to do. Create a daily ritual that it makes time for you to be able to get your heart rate up. Raise your standards. Quit telling the story about your worth or what you can or can't do. You can do anything, right? You can't do everything, but you can do anything. And that is, you know, you're one with the source that creates and animates all things. I always, always am going to come back to that. Who am I? Who are you? You are it, right? That's how powerful you are. That's the potential. And I love how he said the quality of your life is where you live emotionally, right? That is everything. It's not about the money or the any of the status BS. Most really, really wealthy people are just miserable in a better part of town. It's like, it's not the money isn't the answer. The quality of your life is where you are at emotionally. And where do you live now? You know, fear is physical and it's tied to stagnation. Stagnation being physical, like get moving. Five things he mentioned there. 30 minutes a day of feeding your mind, right? Listening to this podcast is a big part of that for most of you, which is probably why so many of you have, you know, reached out and said that it's had a transformational, you know, sort of effect on your life. Working out, of course, changing your biochemistry, number two, finding a mission bigger than self. You know, when you understand, if you as Gandhi said, if you want to find yourself, lose yourself in the service of others. And I'd add to that, why? Why does that work? Because there are no others. Find a role model. Find someone who inspires you, that is in doing something similar to what you'd like to be doing. Of course, back to serving people, help someone worse off than yourself. Find a way to serve. He said, life isn't about me, it's about we. He then went on to talk about the 4-minute mile, how the guy did what? He envisioned it in his head, right? Same way my grandfather, who was a state skeet shooting champion, he used to envision. He wasn't into any of this stuff. He used to envision. And my dad was too. And now I see a synchronicity here. Very, very cool. So my dad and just realized this as I'm looking at a little note. So my dad and my grandfather are both state skeet shooting champions, right? And my grandfather talked about envisioning shooting them in his head before he would hit, you know, 100 out of 100 of these clay pigeons, you know, if you know anything about skeet shooting. Well, you know, that's what Roger Bannister did when he ran the 4-minute mile. He did it in his head. I noticed, I noticed all the little tie-ins. Well, right after that clip, part of the clip, talking about Roger Bannister did it and then everyone else, 37 people did it, right? The number of episodes for the new show Optimistic. 37 weeks we'll be doing retreats at the Mystic Manor. And then right after that was another clip with a guy named Roger. So you went from Roger Banner running the 4-minute mile in his head to another Roger. I could see it on the YouTube clip. You know, obviously you guys just heard it, was talking about, he asked the question about crisis and, you know, doom and gloom right after that. So it went from Roger Bannister ran the 4-minute mile in his head, did this miraculous thing, to the guy who is locked in fear and crisis and doom and gloom named Roger. And what is my father's name? Who's a skeet shooting champ? Roger. So yeah, it's just all variations of the same energy that can do different things, right? It all starts in your head. You know, that potential, actions, results, belief, you know, cycle he went over. It's all tied. And if you can start with understanding that your potential is infinite, wow. Now what actions do you take if you really believe that? Then what results will you see? And then what belief do you reaffirm? And it becomes, a very, very, very good sort of domino effect that you set in motion, right? It can go either direction, guys, with the sort of domino effect. And let's turn it around. You can turn it around anytime. Get back up. The Chinese proverb, fall down 7 times, get up 8. Get outside of yourself. Get physical. Getting some sun, a lot of people just aren't getting vitamin D. I feel better. I feel great. I hope you feel great. I have a great song here to play for you in a minute called Take It Slow. Before I do, I just want to throw out to any of you guys who were about a third-ish or so of the people or the spots during the 37 weeks, three rooms per week at the Mystic Manor. That's 111 total spots. About a third of those have been booked, and would absolutely love any of you who are feeling like coming and co-creating this epic next level experience at the Mystic Manor to really like really reach down deep and like tell yourself. I know a lot of people I've talked to have said like, oh, I don't think it's feasible for me. I don't believe I can. And it's like Henry Ford said, whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. And a lot of people have figured it out by believing that they could. And, you know, I'm willing to be really flexible with you guys on payment arrangements, even the potential of working out a discount for some of you guys if that's what it takes. I want anyone who really wants to come to the Mystic Manor to be able to come. And there's, you know, it is going to be a once in a lifetime, one of a kind experience. You get to be on the live taping of the show. You're going to get like all week long, you know, family style dinners and all these workshops and healing and coaching and consulting and recording on the Positive Head podcast with me actually as well. And it's going to be an epic, epic experience. So any of you guys who want to explore, even just having an exploratory conversation with me, having these conversations, by the way, has been so rewarding. I have gotten to meet so much of our soul family in a way that's like, I didn't plan on doing that originally. And it's one of the things that's taken a lot of time, extra time that I didn't really count on, but I know it's necessary. And so I'd love to talk to you too, if you're thinking about it and you want to figure out a way, if we put our minds together, I bet we can. And the way that we can facilitate those conversations, if you go to my calendar, which is at calendly.com/optimisticshow, all one word. And Calendly is spelled calendly.com/optimisticshow. You can find an available time and book yourself for, you know, 15 minutes or so, and we can jump on a call and see what we can do to get it together. Alternatively, if it's just there's no way you're ever going to be able to come to the Mystic Manor for a week for whatever reason, and you still want to co-create and be a part of what we're doing, check out our Patreon page. And if you go to Patreon, patreon.com/optimisticshow, there's a bunch of ways that you can co-create. Some of the things that we're providing you in exchange for your support won't actually launch until, you know, we begin shooting. But I actually just set a goal on there to figure out or to sort of put it out there for our collective to, you know, co-create this whole experience together. And here's what I'll go ahead and read it to you guys and then we'll play the song. The goal that I have on patreon.com just as of like yesterday, I believe, or the day before, is I set for us to collectively on Patreon come up with $11,111 per month to help to co-create Optimistic. And I look out there and there's so many other Patreons like creating like comedy channels and comedy shows and things like that. And they're doing like $75,000 a month and, you know, big, big numbers to create this content, which is great for them. And I'm thinking, wow, we're really looking to create something that's going to have some, not that comedy doesn't help people, it does, but, you know, I truly believe, and maybe I'm biased or partial, that Optimistic is going to have an effect on people's lives the same way it has many of yours, where it's been like transformational and really helped to, you know, set you on a new path. And so I got to think anyone who does co-create this experience with me will feel the energetic repercussions of it. And so that's the goal, is to get us to, you know, $11,111 per month. Right now we're at $325 per month. Of course, we just launched. We have a ways to go, obviously. And here's what I wrote as the goal. The cost to produce 3 episodes of Optimistic a month on average, 37 between July 2019 and July 2020, also provide 111 of your P-head soul family with a once-in-a-lifetime transformational retreat experience to also rent out the Mystic Manor, etc., is synchronistically somewhere in the ballpark of $37,000 a month. And that doesn't include all equipment costs, necessary employee costs, or marketing costs to get the show out there initially so people outside of our little P-head tribe know about it. To help support the birth of our collective optimistic vision, my aim is to get our Patreon page to $11,111 a month as soon as possible to help ease the birthing pains of us all stepping into a more optimistic world. I fully expect this will happen in divine timing without any attachment to it ever doing so. thank you for honoring our sole contract to show up at this very special transitional time in my/our journey, as well as showing up for all the souls out there that will surely benefit from the monetary energy you are inspired to contribute. Regardless if you are inspired or able to support or not, I promise to continue to show up for you until the day I am born back into non-physical, and even then still. I love you so much. Always have, always will. That's my little heartfelt ask on the Patreon page. So take a look at it if you feel inspired to do so. With that being said, I have a track to leave you guys with. It's called Take It Slow by Ayla Nerio, one of the artists I definitely intend to have do a live performance for one of the tapings of The Optimistic. Love her music so much. Hope you enjoy this song. Till next time, journey well, everyone.
Take it slow. Don't get in your way. Keep it moving. At the pace of every weather, look within. And don't forget you are surrounded by the wind. As it rushes in your lungs, oh honey, you are part of the moon. Precious cave, don't forget there is unknown inside you. Don't turn away from yourself by being like somebody else. You are tied, crashing over and caught of the mountains in your darkest tunnels, where your light comes from. So take it slow. What you long for is on its way, and don't stop reaching. Taste the sound of every color deep within. Let your wild be uncaged, run with the wind, and rush into its lungs. Oh, honey, you are born of the moon, precious cave. Don't forget there is unknown inside you. Don't turn away from yourself by being like somebody else. You are tied, crashing over and caught off the mountains in your darkest tunnels, where your light come from. Oh, aim for the journey and grow with the night. Be brave in your loving, keep steady your side. Precious cave, don't forget there is unknown inside you. Don't turn away from yourself by being like somebody else. Don't turn away from yourself by being like somebody else. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. You are tied, crashing over. All of the mountains and your darkest tunnels, where your light comes. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't turn away. Don't turn.
And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.